Lord God, thanks for your word. It's always holy. It's always right. It's always good for us. We pray you'd increase our appetite and enlarge our stomach so that we can partake and then help us digest it, Lord, that it would be useful to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're starting Psalm 119. This is our second session. It looks like there's going to be about five of them. For the sixth session, meet me in Jerusalem. Because I'll be there. So, we discovered last week a couple things. You can stay wherever. I talked to the people over there with their coffee, too. So last week we discovered some interesting things. Well, the first thing that we discovered was that the guy that wrote Psalm 119 had too much time on his hands. Okay? Because what he did was, in each section, he wrote the first word began with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and he went systematically through the alphabet. So all section 1, which is verse 1 through verse 8, all the first words of each line start with the letter Aleph. And so verse 9 through 16, which is the second section, they all begin with Beth. And by the way, I had my Hebrew corrected by my Jewish son-in-law who told me it's not Beth, it's Bet. But I would say this, they changed it. They really did. They changed Hebrew since I learned it as a kid. Because Israel, as a nation, has decided upon one pronunciation. And they've revived ancient Hebrew, which is very interesting. Because to the best of my knowledge, no ancient archaic language has ever been restored but one. And they now speak it. But I would also point out that there's a scripture in the Old Testament, which I didn't look up, where they, I think they were catching the Benjamites. And they got them by saying, have them say this word. Yeah. Yeah, and they couldn't say it. They had a lisp. They talked like I do. Beth. Beth. No, it's Bet. All right, cut his head off. So, anyhow, so we discovered that about Psalm 119. And we studied Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. And we're going to be up to Hey, which begins in verse 33. But I want to remind you of some words, because we also discovered that Hebrew and English are different. English has a lot of Greek background to it. And in Greek, you would say, look at that nice tree. And in Hebrew, you would say, behold a beautiful tree on the hillside with the flowers and the birds singing in the branches as the sun goes down. So they're a little different. And it's a tricky language. Because you might say that, and the next time you use the same word, it wouldn't mean the same thing. And it wouldn't have any vowels either. You just got to know what it means by its context and its application. And so it's very rare for a Hebrew word to mean only one thing. In English, we translate the word law. We'll start with verse 1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. And I asked you a question, what does law mean? And what does somebody have an answer? What does the law mean? Good, you're just as awake this week as last week. Okay, the law says don't steal. It's a rule, right? The law says it's 55 miles an hour here, so thereby 56 is, the law is broken. That's not what this word means. Sing out. Praise the Lord. Oh, don't be sad about it, though. So it's important that we know this because I've been really praying and meditating about this because I've had some discussions. I said to Chris that I really believe that the church has pretty much rejected the Old Testament, at least the Western church. And he said, oh, I haven't rejected the Old Testament, and I know that a lot of you haven't. But if you look at church history, you'll find even the preachers, probably around the turn of the last century, slowly changed the gospel that they preached. Less Old Testament, more New Testament. And one of the reasons is because we're free from the law. So what does that mean that you're free from the law? Anyone?
It's been done away with.
Some people think it's done away with, but I believe that adultery is still illegal.
Rituals and traditions,
maybe. Church has as many rituals and traditions as the Jews do, and probably more. Go into some churches without a suit and tie, and you will be out of order. Although, I don't remember there being a dress code in the Bible, yes?
Well, there are some laws that are reinstated in the New Testament.
As a matter of fact, there are some laws that are reinstated in the New Testament. We don't keep those either. Children won't bother me, by the way. Those are the same people that say there aren't any apostles or prophets because that which is perfect has come and that which is imperfect passed away. But I guess they have to get rid of pastors too because it's in the same list. We have a selective use of the scripture. Well, first of all, let me say this, that the word law translated here in the Old Testament doesn't mean law. It doesn't mean that at all. It means instructions and directions. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The instructions and directions of God are perfect. If you follow them, you're going to be a good, happy camper. And if you don't follow them, the consequences of not following the instructions of the person who knows best, the end result will be bad. Remember, Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver and those shows, when Dad always had something to say, and consistently the kids didn't do it, and the end result was bad. We'll take that to a divine level and realize that God has given us direction on how to live. So I feel that it's an end-time deception myself personally that we've pared Christianity down to such a narrow, thin veneer, and we've done it by eliminating large portions of Scripture that we don't like, so we don't read them anymore. And I read the Scripture. I try to read the whole Scripture. And guess what? I'm walking with the Lord since April Fool's Day 1970, and it still convicts me. I still have to change how I behave. And sometimes God, the instructor, points out things that I've been allowed to do, that he no longer allows me to do them. He used to wink at him, and now he doesn't wink at him. He takes me to the woodshed. How many of you have been to the spiritual woodshed? If you haven't, you will. Because God loves you. So law was one of the key words we talked about. And by the way, the Hebrew word for law, you all know it, it's Torah. That's what it is. So when people talk about Torah of God, they're talking about God's direction and instruction. They're not necessarily talking about a set number of rules, okay? Now, when we understand in the New Testament that the law of sin and death no longer holds sway over us, but the law of the Spirit of life has given us life in Christ Jesus, we're set free. So now that you're born again, the New Testament didn't throw out the old laws. It actually made them deeper. That's why Jesus could say, one that says don't commit murder, well, when you look on your brother with hatred, in your heart you're committing murder. Don't commit adultery. When you look at that hot babe and you don't just go, hot babe, nice, very attractive. When you look at that hot babe and you start thinking how it would be if you had that hot babe in a biblically carnal way, you've committed adultery. Because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death, but it hasn't set you free to live however you want. You're now part of God's family. It's actually deeper. Ooh. In the law, the instructions in the Old Testament, we were told specific things to do and not to do. And some of those we'll talk about are commandments and statutes and precepts. These are all different Hebrew words, and they have different meaning. Now God has raised you up to sonship. He's trying to take you out of a place where he just has to give you some rules and regulations to keep you in the general ballpark. That's what you do with your children. Don't do this, do this. You have to teach your children to respond to no. If you say stop and they don't, it might not be quite as big of a deal in the church building if they're running around. But if you're in the parking lot, it could be fatal. So you teach them fundamental things. Eventually, you would hope that they would know that they're not supposed to be running in the church building because they might bump into somebody and knock Victor's coffee over or something. Or they would become respectful. And so we get raised up to a higher level, hopefully. Tithing. Well, some people would say, there's nothing in the New Testament about tithing, which I would argue with you about. But a tithe or a 10% was a schoolmaster to teach you to give back to God. And in the New Testament, what are you supposed to give? All of it! You're supposed to give it all. You're supposed to have a heart that says, Lord, what should I do today? Not, we did it this way yesterday. What should I do today? The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. It converts the soul into what God wants it to be. It brings us to a level of maturity so far beyond what they had. Because God didn't give them the Holy Spirit in the way that we have it. Now you have an earnest deposit in the presence of the living God within you, helping your conscience to be converted into the way that he wants you to think, so that you indeed will be sons of the living God, members of the family, partakers of the divine nature, actually part of the family business, and yet understand the heartbeat of the living God. Okay, we stopped at Dalet. Verse 33, hey, I expect you all to be able to speak fluent Hebrew by the end of Psalm 119. You'll have all the letters. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. What was a statute? A statute was an ordinance, okay? Something posted on the wall. This is good, this is not good. Now where does he write those things? Hopefully he writes them in your heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding, and I may observe thy law. Think instructions, think directions, that I may understand the way you do business. Okay, how you want me to behave. And keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of thy commandments. What's a commandment? Don't do that. Do this. Stop. It's hot. Don't touch it. This will be bad for you. Are there any of those in the New Testament? How many commandments were given at Mount Sinai? Mel Brooks thinks there was 15. We know there were really only 10, right? How many of them are restated in the New Testament? How many? 9. Which one's not there? Sabbath. Sabbath is not restated. All it says is Christ our Sabbath. Why? Because the Sabbath was rest. If you're in Christ, you're supposed to already be in the rest of God. All the other ones are restated. It's still bad to commit adultery. I'm sorry. It's still not good to dishonor your parents. There will be consequences for that. And so on and so forth. And so they're restated, and like I said earlier, sometimes the bar has been raised on them. My father taught me it was okay to look at women, just don't touch, which I guess technically is correct, but I know men. I don't know women as good. By the way, some of you that say you don't understand women, if you've been married any length of time and you're still married, you probably do understand women. Maybe not perfectly. Okay? But I understand how men are. I know how we think. I know where my eyes go. And I know that I have to control those things because I'm not allowed to think in certain directions. And the Lord has charged us to be holy. So there still are commands. What verse am I on? Joy, you got to keep track of this. Thank you. Make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Do you delight in the commandments of God, or do you think he's a big meanie not letting you do stuff? Sometimes. Incline my heart to thy testimonies. What's a testimony? Okay, you're in court. A testimony is something that someone has actually seen or heard. So the testimonies of God are things that God has seen and heard and told that they will be thus and so. When God says live a certain way, this will be the outcome, that's a testimony of God. John reads some of those Proverbs today, a couple of them. How many of you ever read through the Proverbs one per day? And you begin to hear the testimonies of God. If you live this way, you will have that lifestyle. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, this will happen. These are positive and negative testimonies of God. His commandments on how to live, and the results are his testimonies. And not to dishonest gain. Turn my eyes away from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. What's vanity? Is vanity just, I'm looking mighty fine today, and you'll know it's true, darling. Is that vanity? It could be.
Chasing after wind.
Chasing after wind. What a great, yes. Vanity. What's something vain? It's something that is useless. It has no real tangible value. It might look good on the outside, but it's not really. We try to look good for one another. That's not vanity. When you try to look good just for yourself, what's that song, All the Girls Get Dressed Up for Each Other? It's a, yeah. Billy Joel, is that? You know, what's it about? You know, if you're living a life, a true Christian life, you're doing it for somebody else. Isn't that what we learned from our Father? I'm not telling you should just look like a frump on purpose, you know. Well, if they can't love me for my inner self. Put on some right guard and brush your hair, you know. We'll love you, but you got to get close enough so that we know who you are. Gee. Wasn't talking to anybody in particular. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. What do we say ways are? Paths. Something that's been established. So God's ways, once again, if you follow God's ways, you'll get the good testimony from God. Ways are pathways. We live in an area where if it rains hard, a way develops. Some people call it a rut. And if you want to be a Christian, you need to learn about ways and ruts. Because what happens, for those that are successful in the kingdom of God, they develop deep furrows in the ground that lead to right living. And those that fail continue to fall back into the deep furrows that they built when they were in the world, when they were living godlessly. And so they fall quickly back into those ruts, and it takes them to bad places. Okay? Don't want to be in a rut. We want to be on a path.
In the groove.
In the groove. There you go. Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. God's word to you. How many of you does God speak to? God speaks to all of you. You know what Paul says in Romans, the first chapter? In the beginning of it? He says the entire creation declares the glory of God. Therefore, those who don't believe are without excuse. Because what can be known about God has been clearly shown. This is true. So, you know, let's go out and share the gospel, but you know what? They already know the gospel. The gospel's been revealed that a loving God created the universe and has intent on how it will function. So, when God establishes his word to you, that should produce reverence. We should revere the living God because of his word to us. Wow, God's speaking to me. He's speaking to me all day long. Sometimes I'm listening to XM 46 and I'm not listening that well, although sometimes he speaks to me on XM 46. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for thy ordinances are good. Behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through thy righteousness. How are you going to get revived in your life? Through your righteousness? You remember a couple of times ago I taught about the good qualities of mankind? You remember what they were? There were three of them. Wicked heart, useless mind, rags for righteousness. Those were your good points. But God has promised to give you a new heart, to renew your mind, and to give you his righteousness. Yay! You don't have to live like that, but you need to know where you came from. Otherwise, you start thinking that you're something when you're really not, and that is vanity. Okay, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for thy ordinances are good. Behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through your rightness. God, help me to be right like you. I want to be like Dad. I want to look like Dad. I want to talk like Dad. I want to think like Dad. I want people to see Dad's. I want them to look at me and say, wow, your eyes look just like Dad's. Yeah. Vav, may thy loving kindness also come to me, thy salvation according to thy word. Wow, God's salvation. I thought that only happened in the New Testament. It's another good word study, salvation. Happens a lot in the Old Testament. Hosanna. They were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know what that means? Save us. Save us, God. You know, the whole creation testifies not only to the glory of God, it also testifies to the fact that we're fallen. The creation you live in is full of death. There's dead animals everywhere we go. There's one more that we took care of this morning. It was another suicidal rabbit. Bad career decision to cross the road right then. Did what I could. There's death everywhere. We need to get saved. God needs to save us every day. I need to get saved every single day. I'm not talking about eternity. When I first got born again, I read a sinner's prayer 8 or 10 times the first week just to make sure he heard me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I need to be delivered from the world in which I live, which God left me in for his purposes. So I'm here, and I'm trying to learn to be like God, salvation according to his word. So I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Who reproaches you? Who reproaches you? The guy next door that thinks it's silly for you to be a Christian? The guy on the job, is that who reproaches you? What? Lucifer. He's the only one that reproaches you. Did you guys know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places? Did you know that? Anybody under that level is just an employee in the service of the dark one. Some intentionally, some accidentally, or by default, if you will. I want to have an answer for him who reproaches me. And you know what? A lot of times my answer isn't, hey, didn't you read? A lot of times my answer is just a big smile. Because it's not my job to straighten out the devil, nor is it yours. It's your job to submit to God and then to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Not on your own. Okay? Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for thy ordinances. I want the word of truth so built into me that it's natural for me to speak the things that my dad speaks. So I will keep thy law continually. So I will keep the instructions and directions of God continually, forever and ever. Don't you want to get to a place where that is your nature? You don't have to think, well, what would God do? What would Jesus do? People should be able to ask you, what would Jesus do? And you'd be able to say, well, I know the first thing he'd do is he'd go and see what the Father's doing. Because he couldn't do anything except the Father was doing it. I want to get so connected that his instructions are with me continually, forever and ever. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I am so free, sometimes it scares me. I mean it. I don't think, well, can I do this and still be a Christian? Can I do that? It's woven into my heart. I have great confidence that God will adjust me if I take liberties that I'm not supposed to. And that his precepts are built into me. And I'm embracing and surrounded by his instructions and directions. I'm free. That's why it says the law of the Spirit of life will set you free from the law of sin and death. Because you've taken God's instructions deep into your heart. And they become part of who you are. Good place to be. I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. And I shall delight in thy commandments, which I love. Delight in the instructions of the Lord. I shall lift up my hands to thy commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on those thy statutes. Believe me, once you begin to embrace the instruction or direction of the Lord, the law, as it's written here, then the commandments of God, the don't do this and do that, become comfortable to you. You no longer think that you're dealing with a meanie who just doesn't want you to have fun. You know, the enemy continually tries to incriminate the nature of the living God. That's what he did with Eve. Oh, did God really tell you that? Yeah, hey, he's holding out on you. He's got good stuff that he doesn't want you to have. No, he doesn't. If God says don't do something, it's because it's bad for you. If God says do something, it's because it's good for you. And this all has to do with trusting that Dad really is intent on your well-being. That no one has a better plan for you. And that you can't see far enough to understand how these things will play out. Zion, remember the word to thy servant in which thou hast made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived. Affliction? That must be a mistranslation. Do you know what the Hebrew word affliction means? It means affliction. Another one of those words that we got exactly right. This is my comfort in my affliction. Didn't they tell you we're going to get afflicted? Did Jesus say anything about that? Anyone? In this world you will have tribulation or affliction. But don't worry, I've overcome the world. Well, if God really loved us, he'd make it so we had a happy time. Well, God really does love you, and he knows that in order to get fruit out of you, you need not only the warm summer, but you also need the cold winter. And by the way, plants grow in dirt. So you're going to have to hang out in the dirt. Sorry. Did they tell you that now that you're born again, everything's just going to be a happy day? Jesus didn't paint that picture. Paul didn't paint that picture. Peter, James, John, none of them taught that. Where'd you get it? It's not gospel. God has planted us in a fearful, fallen place. It's his intent to grow fruit in the midst of that and then to squeeze the juice out of it. And when he stands before the Father, do you remember what Jesus said? One of the last things he said is, I'm not going to drink of this cup until when? In the kingdom. He's going to take a cup full of the wine of the spirit of the saints, and he's going to hold it up to the Lord, the living God, and he's going to go, Amen, Father. When is that going to be? It's going to be at the marriage feast. We used to do a dance about this. And Jesus comes down the aisle, and there's a bride. We dressed up a bride, and he picks up the veil, and it's her. I'll tell you about that later. All we Jews all have an unveiling to make sure it's the right babe. Ever since Jacob and Leah, we just make sure. We do it. Any Jewish wedding, it's her. Okay. Tricked once. That's it. And so Jesus comes down the aisle, and it's the bride. And he's so pleased with her, and he strokes her face. She's beautiful. There's no blemish. And he takes her, and they kneel before the throne. And he covers her with his talit, his covering. And then he gets up and he takes the cup and he drinks it. God is into making fruit from your life. And then he's going to squeeze the juice out of it. The essence that will be pleasing to the living God. Oof. I don't care if you're getting them. I got goosebumps. Where was I? This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from thy law, from thy instructions, thy direction. I have remembered thine ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake thy law. Thy statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember thy name in the night and keep thy law. This has become mine that I observe thy precepts. How many of you wake up in the middle of the night? I do. I'm up multiple times. Praise God if you have peace, peaceful sleep all the way through. I don't care because when I get up, I worship the living God. You see the commercial where the woman keeps reaching for the light switch and she can't get it? So she just got to take some sort of pill. It's a big butterfly pill or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. The directions of God are my delight. And I wake up to that usually. And I go to sleep to that thought and hard attitude toward the living God. Oh, God, build this in me. And lately I've been noticing that he's really doing it. That it's deep in my heart. It's the way I think. Are the ways of the Lord the way you think? Or do you have to? Are you still at conflict with the living God, even how your mindset goes? I've remembered thine ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. I'm comforted in that God's rules and regulations are right, that his direction is for me, and then I'll be able to please him. His statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Heth, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep thy word. What exactly is it that you consider your portion? What are you going to get for living here? What's your reward going to be?
Dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Ah, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of you people, probably you young people, think that's kind of boring. Come on, we're going to do sit around on clouds. It ain't going to scare me. I'd think that would be boring too. I don't believe that at all. I believe that God made man for himself. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I know that, and I've done some wild stuff here, and whatever things I've done, it's going to all veil in comparison to what God has planned for us. I can't give you the specifics. You know why? Because there aren't any real specifics. It's not in there. We have the millennial period, whatever that'll mean. I don't know. We're all going kayaking down rapids, or maybe we'll be able to fly. I don't know. I don't know any of that stuff. I could tell you, though, that God's intent for us is good, and that's nice.
We won't be bored.
But we won't be bored. That's true. But the thing that you really need to know is that the portion for you is God Himself. It'd be like, at my house, as you know, my four grandchildren live with me since Judah's wife has passed away, and Judah is there, and it doesn't matter what happens. Whenever he gets home, they want to see him. I don't care what they're doing. They want to see Dad. I call up sometimes and get my wife on the phone, and just to hear her voice is wonderful. And hopefully she feels that way too. Oh, it's you again? Actually, she usually says, "Hello, my Lord." My wife started calling me Lord a couple of years ago, and I said, "Stop that." She said, "No, the Lord told me to do it." All right, well, don't do it when anybody else can hear. And now I don't care, because you know what? It makes my heart beat fast, because she's making a confession that I am who I'm supposed to be. And she's precious to me. And hopefully we'll come to a place where the Lord, the living God, is our portion. Oh, the rest of the stuff's going to happen. We're going to do things. We're going to have things. We're going to go places. I don't know. Maybe we'll explore the universe. How could you outdo God? Look at the cool stuff He's got here. And this is cursed. Did you know it's cursed? It dies. It's cursed. What could He have for us throughout eternity? He's God. He can make new stuff. So the main thing is that your heart should be in a place where the Lord, the living God, is your portion. I've promised to keep thy words. I entreat thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to thy word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I considered the ways that I was walking, and I turned my feet into the paths that you said have a good outcome. I'm walking this way. There's a fork in the road. God says, go this way. And when I do, it's right. I hastened and did not delay to keep thy commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten thy law or your instructions. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to thee because of thy ordinances, and also because I have to go to the bathroom because I'm getting older. So. But I'm glad. I'm happy to get up. I don't care. Hey, I'm closer to the end of the race than some of you. Yeah, you young people. I'm near the end. Na, 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 na. Maybe. Who knows that, right? I am a companion of all those that fear thee and of those who keep thy precepts. Are you a companion of all that fear the Lord, even if their doctrine doesn't agree with you? You have a problem with that? You ought not to. Fellowship on the things that are common to us. Do not allow dissension to separate what God has brought together. The earth is full of thy loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. We're going to stop there. Hopefully you're getting a feel for this. I really believe that this psalm is going to help you in all aspects of your walk. That we can take this and we can apply these words that God is giving us in this heart attitude throughout our understanding of the Scripture. And we'll get a broader, deeper understanding of the God that we have to deal with, and that He will help us to be formed into His image. Let's pray. Lord God, thanks for your word. Please plant it in our hearts. Teach us your paths that your testimonies say are correct. Grant us your law, your instructions, your direction, so that we'll know how to live. Remind us that your commandments are for our benefit. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua. Amen.